Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
The Recession Podcast with yours truly, Jeezy, is a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. This is Jeezy, Grammy-nominated urban philosopher, philanthropist, and entrepreneur, and this is my show, The Recession Podcast. For years, I used my music to highlight the struggles and issues facing this country, the economy, politics, protests, mental health, and more. And now, strong voices are more important than ever before. On this show, I will speak to powerful people from all walks of life to have real conversations about change, perseverance, and hope. And each episode will feature a sample of a song from my new album, The Recession 2. So without further ado, let's begin the Recession Podcast. Let's get it. So here we are, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's a happy new year for some, and the rest, we're going to get it together. Without further ado, man, this guy right here, you know, it's crazy. I grew up listening to him. You know, I remember the click, the whole thing, and I was just in my Oldsmobile Cutlass with the European fronts, and I'm like, yo, I got to get me some bread. I got to get me some money. Got to get me some paper, man.
That's right.
And I've been watching his evolution and watching everything he's been a part of as far as, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, staying relevant, diversifying his portfolio, and just being all around, you know, a great example for, you know, a lot of the cats that's coming up in this game, and just knowing you can stay the same and still grow. And without further ado, you know, he's on the song on the new album that just released on the Recession. It's called The Ghetto. And, you know, I don't got a lot of people that I look at and be like, hey man, how you do that there? but, you know, you've been around since, you know, the Master P days and even before that, and always been independent. But y'all give it up for E. Fonzarelli, E. 40, the I don't even know what to call you right now, man. You're coming fresh off the verses. And I just want to welcome him to the show, man. What's up, big dog E. 40, representing that Bay Area on the Recession Podcast right here.
We're trying to get out, and that's a fact. Finished college, congratulations on that.
Congratulations.
My brother, he dating the dread, bro. He activated my get our whip split in half by the pow-pow.
12.
We can be our own enemy. Plus, we're dealing with white supremacy.
The ghetto is where I learned my lessons, where I got my blessings. The ghetto.
Salute, salute, Jay-Z. Nothing but love, man. Love and respect. You know that.
Happy New Year, big dog. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Happy New Year to you too.
I was just going through all your stuff, man. And I gotta be honest with you, bro. Like, I feel like you've stood the test of time, you know, and I don't know where you got that Energizer battery from, but you've been rocking with that thing, man. And you know, I for one, you know, I'm still waiting on that. And it might be out there. I don't know. Like, I'm just gonna put it out there, but I'm still waiting on that that E-40 definition of slang. I mean, is that dropping?
I never put it out. I never did it. I definitely would be saying I need to do it. It's just,
yeah. You
know, I don't know.
Yeah, you got to do it. And so let me ask you this. So I've been to Bay Area. Actually, I just left out there. And I rode through Vallejo. And I'm like, damn. Like, when you look at Oakland, you look at Vallejo, you look at San Francisco, you look at all the bays, you look at all the water, and you just like, damn. Like, where do y'all get this coolness from? Like, where is this flamboyant, like, just where you get your words from, man? Let's start there.
Man, it's a trip. It's I think a lot of us, our families, our grandparents, they came from the South.
Right.
And they moved, you know, like the military, being in the military and stuff like that. So they moved, some went to Richmond, some went to Oakland, some went to Vallejo at Mare Island, some went to Alameda Air Force Base. You understand what I'm saying? So right. A lot of them moved to the Bay Area, and you know, the South, you know, that's that, like I always say, like all my Richmond partners, a lot of them got gold. They got that one gold teeth, or they got a whole grill full of gold teeth. But I'm like, right. I say, y'all was born with permanent gold teeth, man. You know right. what I'm saying? Right. Right. A lot of them right. come right. from Mississippi. They come from Louisiana. You know what really? I'm saying? Like, my daddy from Mississippi, from Kenton, Mississippi. He came out to Vallejo okay. when he was 14. My grandmama and my granddaddy, they from Bernice, Louisiana. You know, and my mom, you know, she the third oldest, so she got a dose of it and everything. She's the third oldest out of 11 kids. You know.
Oh man.
Yeah.
So some of this came from just your South roots.
Yeah, definitely. Yep. And then just being in the Bay Area, period. Like, it's so much game involved. Like, this is where the hustlers at. This is where you understand me? We make a way out of no way, no choice. You know, a lot of us were in the hood by force, not by choice. You know,
correct.
You know, that's real. And so, you know, it's just the bay. It's the, you know, they tell me, my OG say, man, wherever you go, man, uphold your bayness, man. And the Bay is serious about being the Bay. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's culture. It's real. Yeah. I was out there with Yo Gotti. We was shooting a video. We was in East Oakland.
Yeah.
And I swear to you, we pulled up to a store and there was nobody out there. Within about 5 minutes, it was thousands mm-hmm. of people out there. You know, they coming through doing the donuts mm-hmm. and you just see it. And when you see it in person, you just like, damn, like, this is a whole, you know, and even the music, it's just like, it's a culture. And you got to be from there to know how to move to it, to understand what they're saying. And it's been like that forever. So I almost feel like y'all, I call like the Bay, Cuba.
Yeah.
Like, y'all reserved all y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all reserved.
All our game.
Like Cuba, right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you go to Cuba, like, you know you in Cuba. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, they reserve everything. And when you get there, it's like, it's not watered down. It's all solid. And y'all got people that's, you know, that's been doing it for a long time that are considered legends out there that a lot of us in the South, you know, might only know one or two records, but y'all know, you know, their whole discography and when you play it, it's timeless. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, like, just watching it, just coming up and listening to the slang, you know, even back then, you know, I used to hear about this, you know, the Hurricane and the Oldsmobiles and the cars and the things you just had to do to be cool. And I'm in the South, I'm in Georgia. Yeah. So, you know, at the time, it's just like, I didn't have a lot to pull from. I had, like, you know, the Master P's, the Cash Money's, and things like that. But what I liked about your movement is, like, it seemed like you had your sister, somebody rapping with you, Sugar T.
Yeah, me and my sister. I would want to say we made the first rap dual gold record ever. That was Sprinkle Me. You know, matter of fact, the album went platinum. So the single went platinum, because the single was on the platinum, and that was the main single that pushed it.
Wow. Was this independent or this was like?
This one, well, we did Captain Save-A-Ho and some other ones, you know, together that was independent. And this was independent too through Jive Records, but I had major distribution. I had a 75-25 deal. Before Master P, before anybody, before any of those rappers.
Where'd you get that business sense from? Like, because, you know, we were just trying to get in the game, but it seemed like you guys had it sold up, like you understood the business part of it. And I can imagine back then, y'all was probably getting people right around you to make the music and the beats and the production and everything. So everything was pretty much in-house. But how did you know to even go in there and say, you know, we got to do a 75-25 deal off the rip?
Well, you know, I was laced by the best, man. Like I said, I mentioned P earlier, which I love. I got nothing but love and respect for P.
Right.
He's a friend of mine, straight up. And, you know, you might have heard him mention a guy by the name of St. Charles.
Okay.
St. Charles is my mama's brother. That's my uncle.
Oh.
He laced us. He laced us. You know, we learned together, but he laced us. He taught me so much more than just music. He taught me how to be a man, you know, and stand on morals and respect. He taught me how to go get a bank account. I always looked up to him when I was a young man, a little youngster. And I used to always say, Uncle St. Charles, I want to make a record one day. And he'd go all the time, with the money.
Shout out to St. Charles, baby.
Shout out to St. Charles, man.
That's hard. Yep. So basically, see, and that's the thing, is just like when you look at the music and two, just so y'all know listening out there, like 40 been doing this for a long time, but he never watered down his brand. So for him to say that he was doing independent moves back then and what you guys see now is how these youngsters are going straight from from the studio to consumer is something that he already had put in play. So y'all was basically almost selling CDs out of the trunk at one point.
We were going to barbershops. We was going to rims and tire shops, you know, where all the D-boys would go to. You're going to see anywhere. Right. You're going to find somebody that's got some bread. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the barbershop, you know, was the liquor store. We had our cassettes and our vinyl and CDs, all that shit way. Because, you know, we came in 88. You know what I mean? Our first album came out. Our EP came out in 88, The Click. We was MVP, Most Valuable Players. And then we changed our name like 8 months later to The Click. But that was our first one. But we would go to, you know, all the liquor stores, I drop off 30, 50 cassettes or whatever it is, whether it's vinyl cassettes or CDs, and you understand me, and put them on consignment. Had a consignment sheet. I used to give out my business. I carried a briefcase, put it out the
trunk of
the car. Yeah, put it out the trunk of the car.
You had a briefcase.
Yeah, I got a briefcase. Then I'll be in my Cutlass. I'll go to my trunk, pull out the box of cassettes or whatever, drop it off at like places like M&M's Liquor or Bills and Wheels, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Rich Arts Barbershop, places like that. And once they sold through the 30 or 50 cassettes or whatever, then they'll pay us on that, and then I'll drop off more right then and there. I have it right then and there. I write a receipt, woo wop de woo, bam. You know, then we also hooked up with Music People, which is a one-stop Music People and City Hall Records. And they became the main hub for us. So anybody that wanted to order, my Uncle St. Charles made this list up where he got anybody, he got a list of a big ass encyclopedia book, but it was just like nothing but phone numbers and contacts of anybody that dealt with any rap music, any retail store, any mom and pop store that dealt with rap music, period. And he would put all that together, and he'll send out packages through Pitney Bowl, UPS, and it was snail mail back then. It might go, you know, end up in Nebraska or end up in Kansas City at Seventh Heaven, probably, you know, 8 days later, but it'd get there. So once it got there, you know, he'll put some free cassettes in there just for the energy. Like, here you go, man, just get these out to whoever got some slap in their trunk or whatever. And they'd do it. And man, when they seen the covers and the way our lifestyle was on the album covers and stuff, they'd be like, I think I can relate to these dudes. Let me slap their music in there. And next thing you know, they spreading the word of mouth get around. Now it's all through the, it's going everywhere. It's everywhere like air. So that's how I went, man. You know what I'm saying? And things just kept flourishing.
That's crazy. Cause it's just like, if you, and just jumping off subject, I want to just ask you this, because just the Bay Area is a tech hub, period.
Yep.
But just imagine, you know, because the story that you're telling is basically because a lot of these cats is coming up now, they're just uploading their music and it's out there.
Yep.
so they don't have to do none of the leg work and have no encyclopedias of contacts. And just imagine if the tech was up then and you was doing that game. I mean, E-40 would be on a belly right now.
I would be a zillionaire. Hello.
right.
Oh, my God, man. Shit, man. It was the days. And, you know, but we had hard time. It was hard. It wasn't as easy, you know, especially me being from a little city called Vallejo, California, you know, and then. Right. You know, now you can just push a button, man, and your music goes out to millions of people.
You
can go in the studio right now. I send you an instrumental, or you send me an instrumental. We put a hook on that bitch. You knock out your verse. I knock out my verse tonight. And next thing you know, we can have that thing uploaded within 24 hours. You know, on the net, booming. Right. You know what I'm saying?
And they already like seeing what it's doing and monitoring it. So you guys had to basically sell cassettes and keep up with what you were selling and then go out and buy some actual more cassettes because that's another thing too. I don't think they understand is like you guys had to actually put the music on the cassettes. So it was a process. It wasn't like you just got the cassettes. So it was a whole thing.
You know, it's a trip, Jeezy. Back then, and you probably got a dose of this too, I'm pretty sure. Back then, late 80s, early 90s, all that shit, man. It's a trip because when we did, like when we mixing down songs, we had 2-inch reels. So we were doing on a 2-inch reel, and that 2-inch reel cost like $250, $250 to $300 each 2-inch reel, but it only held 3 songs.
Right.
3 songs.
Right.
You can get it for $250, you can get a hard drive that hold thousands of
three, four albums.
Yeah, you know, it's a terabyte. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but you was on 2-inch reel though. Y'all was big boy in it, man. I started off with what's it, DA-88s.
Oh no, the
VCR.
Yeah, I remember DA-88s, ADATs. We did all that. I'm saying, like, you know, that was my first shit. MVP, Most Valuable Players, was mixed by Al Eaton. Al Eaton, and that was in Richmond, California. He mixed it on a VHS tape. A VHS, bro. Mixed and mastered on a VHS tape. That was our master. We sent it to Rainbow Records out there in Southern California, pressed up the vinyl, MVP, Most Valuable Players. We used to get all our stuff. We would order all our product from Rainbow Records. So we would have to order a bunch of the actual covers. Did you slide inside the insert?
Yeah.
We had to order. Right. We had to order extra them every time because that was the main thing that took a long time to get done. So we order, like, if I got a PO from City Hall Records for maybe 50,000 records, you know, we ordering ordering triple that many, you know, covers for the inserted and jewel cases. So we would have when they was delivered to us, I would have probably about, you know, 20, 30,000 cases of cassettes or CDs in my garage, or a mixture of both in my garage. Right. Say Charles had the same amount in his garage. D Shatter had the same amount in his garage. B Legit had the same amount in his garage. So anytime we got a PO, you know what I'm saying? We'd go pick up a U-Haul truck and go take it down to City Hall Records in San Rafael or to Oakland at Jason Blaine one stop. You know what I'm saying? So
damn, you know, that was grinding, bro.
He was grinding,
so
bro.
Sick with the records. I remember because B Legit is one of my favorite rappers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just. It be legit sound like you went and picked him up off the block and like, yo, bro, I'm here to the studio. You want to come? He's like, well, shit, I don't really, you know about the studio, but I just, you know, it, like, he just talked like he just walked off the porch.
Man, be legit, though, ganged up.
Yeah,
man, I love rapping with be legit.
Yeah.
You know, we started off together and we're going to end it together. Y'all spoke several times, y'all. You know, y'all
He's solid. He we hung out in Miami one day. Yeah, we hung out in Miami one night, man. Yep. Like, be a little solid.
Very
man.
Underrated.
Well, but sometimes, you know, you got to be that to get that ghetto trophy. Mm-hmm. Like, when you have cats like myself, grew up listening and staying solid because of the morals and the values and the integrity that we got from, you know, cats like yourself.
Yes, sir.
You know, so shout out for Bila for that, and also yourself. Sick with it records, like, we, even when I was coming up, my whole thing was, you know, and a lot of people don't know, I didn't even start off as an artist. You know, I wanted to be a CEO, you know what I mean? So I went and signed some cats from my neighborhood And quite naturally, they got into, you know, a whole bunch of things. One, it's so crazy. I went to sign some of the cats from my neighborhood. One of them ended up going to prison, and other two, some crazy shit happened with them. But it's crazy because just 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like maybe 2 months ago, I had a party in Atlanta after the Verses, and I went to the club. And when I got out of the car, I seen my little homie that I had signed. Wow. He just did 19 years. You know what I'm saying? 19 years. And I'm like, damn. So he was one of my first artists that I signed. And he did 19 years. So, for you know, that's my first time seeing him since he got home. He had been home maybe like a year or so. And but I'm just saying, so I went in with that mentality to be a CEO. When they got locked up, that's how I ended up being an artist, because all my money was tied up in the studio and what I was doing. So I really didn't have a choice. So I had to kind of figure it out myself. You know, man, and my man was like,
"Rapping Forte, you know, man. You remember Rapping Forte?
Of course, of course, of course.
Rapping Forte, I always remember what he said. He said, a lot of these players will make some real good rhyme sayers. You know what I mean? So right. What he basically saying is, a lot of cats that's from the inner city, from the lower development housings and whatnot, you know, they are the ones who spit the most game. They the ones who went through it and seen it all and can explain it to the streets better so that the streets can relate. Right. They relate.
Right.
And that's me. Right. And that's yourself, you know, being from the soil.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's many of us that, you know, it's laced that way from that structure, you know?
State Farm Insurance gets it. Representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. State Farm understands and wants to help protect our communities by investing in our future, building off the hard work our parents have done before us. We all are looking to create generational wealth so that our families and generations behind us have a better starting point than we did. That begins with financial literacy. State Farm helps fund programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to the educational achievement of Black and brown youth. To date, participants have been awarded over $11 million in scholarships offers as a direct result of contributions from State Farm. At Eating While Broke, we hear inspiring rags-to-riches stories on each episode from our guests, but with State Farm, you can begin to write your own success story. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey everyone, I am so excited. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with a Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with a Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You won't want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill of your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have black ownership. This program gives black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training, and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
But it's crazy because just like when you think about, and you know, we could talk about music all day, but I really respect your business mindset, because to start a record label back then and put your people on and set up this whole, you know, conglomerati, but it came off of, you know, your swagger and the things that you was doing and what you was building around and your team.
Yeah.
Because everybody had their own thing. Like, you had Death Row. We knew what that was about. You had, you know, the Dog Pound with Snoop and all these different people. But it was like your music was like hustle music. But like, you know, you cool. Like, you ain't on. Like, it's always about the bread. You know what I'm saying? It's always about, you know, how you feeling. You know, just, you know, what you riding, what you smoking on, and how you coming through. And to create a record. Because I remember y'all had the change with the pig on it, Sick with it Records. With it,
yeah, that's the logo.
Right.
The reason we had that pig on it is to show, because, you know, out here, and you probably heard it before, we hogs. Man, that boy a hog right there. It's kind of like a word, like he's savage or he beastie. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
hogs. We some sick with it hogs. We sick with it. We hogs. So we about that money, man. We money hungry.
Right. Greedy. Got to have it. Got to eat. Got to eat.
Exactly.
Got to eat. But what I'm saying is, like, for you to even, like, because you got to think, like, us as individuals from the block, from the soil, you know, for us to turn what we know into a business, because you got to think, if you didn't start that back then, you wouldn't be the E-40 that we know now. And you started back then, and you built the company, basically. You know what I'm saying? You built the company from the game that you was given. And just to have that type of insight, I know you got some game from some players, P and all these guys that was around. But you started this whole thing that's been an imprint in the Bay ever since, and even to this day. But it's still business, though, because E-40 was like the smart hustler. You ain't never really heard your name in nothing crazy. Like, you don't really get caught up. You know what I mean? You stay out the way. But then all of a sudden when you pop out, it's like, oh, that's 40. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like for you to have that mindset. You know, back then, because even now, if you look, a lot of cats are starting labels and doing different things, but it ain't the same because you don't know where it's based from.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have a home base. It's like when you think about P and these guys, you think about New Orleans and what they came from. You had to know that Baby and him was from two different sides of the bridge because they got two different ways of thinking. Yeah. But then when it comes to the Bay, you know, you guys had, what's my man from out there, Selly Sale back in the day. But like, it was so different from what you was doing, because what you was doing was building. You know what I'm saying?
Because me and Selly Sale, you know, it's a trip. My mama and Selly Sale parents, my mom and my daddy and Selly Sale parents went to school together. Mm. You know, me and Selly Sale, I lived on Magazine Street. So you go on Magazine Street, go all the way from Glen Cove all the way into South Vallejo, right? So it's a long street. So Selly Sale right there on the 1300 block. Then you make a left coming into Hollywood Street. He stayed on Hollywood Street, walking distance. Dude, we grew up together. Wow. Like we was moving around in the traffic together. You know, me and Selly. Wow. Like, we really from the grit, from playing baseball to the streets to executive suites. You know what I'm saying? So it was Sale, me and B Legit peeped it out. We was like, this boy trying to do his own thing, man. He sounded good. He gave us a cassette one day. We like, this boy lightweight jam. B Legit, me and B Legit looked at each other. We was like, man, we need to go holler at him on some business. We need to sign him, right?
Right, 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 right.
We set
right,
up
right.
a meeting and we went to dinner and you know, he was like, let's go.
Wow.
Well, Selly said it came with that. It's going down.
Going down tonight. Yeah. Tonight it goes down. Yo, I heard that shit and was wild. I was like, yo, but you had to understand, y'all was motivating cats like myself, because we were stuck in rural areas in the South. And it's just like, you know, we was either, you know, West Coast influence or at the time, New York influence. So to get something else that was that, mm-hmm. that was more relatable to mm-hmm. us, you know, we just started to kind of understand who we were as a culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, we starting to be like, okay, we can dress like this, we can ride like that, we can talk like mm-hmm. this, and we don't feel, you know, we don't feel like we're off the grid.
No disrespect, but it's, you know, we all wanted to be like New York, as far as the way they right. the way they dressed. They was fresh. They got mm-hmm. all of that. That's the mm-hmm. fashion capital. Just mm-hmm. me, but then we say, man, you know, we gotta be us. We gotta be us. We know that street shit. We gotta spit that shit. We gotta spit that shit. And we gotta give life lessons in it too. So it's a difference between spitting street shit. It's all shoot 'em up, paint back. I'm on your head, nigga. Yeah, we owe you, nigga, the ops. And you understand me? Then, nigga, you know, we scored. And it's different. It's game involved. You gotta put game involved. You gotta tell why this happened. You know how you didn't want it to happen, but it was miscommunication and misunderstandings. Right. And niggas didn't want to get on the phone and holler. Niggas didn't want to have no meat. Niggas was woo-woo. This is all kind of shit. Like, you got to put me the story with that shit. That's what I'm saying. There got to be a method to the madness that you spit, man.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And sometimes
go ahead. And a message and a takeaway.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Gotta take away. That. Man, you've been doing it for years. Right. I've been doing it for years. Many of us, man, you know. So that's when you know you get, as I get older, I get even wiser. And when I was young, I was wise. I was popping my peas like that, you know.
But to me, it's just like when you think about music and like it's the takeaway that made it real for me, because a lot of these things you can't read in the book, and you can't, you know, you can't go sit down with somebody and they give it to you that raw. So with the music, I learned a lot of the shit I know, you know, through music.
Yeah.
You know, I learned a lot of things just watching how Pac, you know, put words together and what he stood on. Because I'm like, oh, he got, mm-hmm. you know, and a lot of those things left with him as far as like morals in the game and, you know, certain things you shouldn't do or putting your people on. Like, we didn't know all that because you can't, you're not going to get that from your uncle.
Music, you're right. I learned a lot from music, too. I learned a lot from listening to Public Enemy and KRS-One Boogie Down Productions. I didn't even know anything about you know, Malcolm X, because they didn't teach us that in school when I was growing up.
Wow.
You know,
that's crazy.
I didn't even know who Malcolm X is, and I'm a 100 years old. I didn't even know who he was until I got, like, you know, 18 years old when I first heard Boogie Down Production, 18 years old. You know what I'm saying? When I was at Grambling State University. Them boys, you know, it's always a message in KRS-One, you know, music, bro. That's a bad brother. I never did. Yeah. I got doing ad lib from him, like doing ad libs. Yeah, I was doing that back in the 80s. I got it from KRS-One, and then many others followed. Right. You know,
and, yeah, like myself. I thought I was the ad lib king. You were doing ad libs in the 80s.
Man, in the 80s, so listen
you
to
feel
it.
Me? That's crazy. But it's even crazy to see how you like. So like, you know, when back when Lil John and them was popping, like John and them had it sold up.
Yeah.
Like it was solid. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like there was no club anywhere that you can go in that wasn't playing Lil Jon and what they had going on, and really Lil Jon kind of put Atlanta on the map as far as a sound, other than what Outkast was doing. Yep. But I kind of peeped how you kind of got in with them, because it was just like, you know, you was like our country cousin. Yep. You know what I mean? And it was like I kind of saw the play, but it kind of showed me where you was at, because a lot of people from the Bay wasn't hooking up with Southern artists like that. Mm-mm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it was like you was ahead of the curve. Like you kind of just you popped
know,
in.
You know, many moons ago, it was a guy by the name of Greg Street.
Yes, sir. My guy. That's my guy.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's my guy.
And I'm out there in Dallas because I got kinfolk in Dallas and whatnot. And, you know, 1992, me and Greg, we was already hollering in 91. So we had Federal out, and D-Shot had, you could call me on the under. If you need someone to talk to, just dial my number. He had that. And I had the album Federal. So Street said, man, take the beat to Federal and, you know, and talk about all the, you know, the neighborhoods and the soils around Dallas. And I did. I talked about Oak Cliff, and you know, in a good way. And it was called 6 o'clock time for 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock time for Street to Rock, some shit like that, right?
Right.
That put me in, you know, with Dallas, because what I did, they played that during his show every night. Then next thing you know, me, D-Shot, Sugar T, and Vila came with Captain Save-A-Ho.
Wow.
1993.
Around the same time?
Right after. Like,
wow.
Right after in 1993, Greg Street say, this one, boy, watch what I do with this. Blew it up. Green out there at 97.9 right. The box.
Yes, sir. I remember Mean
them
Green.
Them dudes is the one, because I used to be in the South all the time. I used to be out there with Lil' J Prince and them, you know, with yeah. J Prince and you know, all the Scarface, all the, you know, DJ Screw, all them cats. You understand me? 3-2 them and the Convicts, you know, RIP right. to all them boys, Big Mike and all them, man. I used to be out there. Later on, I was right. still out there with Paul Wall and them and Chameleonaire. So I always been locked right. in with the South
right.
overall. And in Atlanta, you understand me? You know, Jazzy Faye, we've been rocking with Jazzy Faye for many months. People like Jazzy Faye, you know, Pimp C, he moved to Atlanta.
Of course.
But, you know, we was out right. there with them. We got, if people listen, they'll find a lot of stuff. 8-Ball and MJG, that I was on their albums way back. I'm on 8.
Right there, yeah, yeah. 8-Ball,
MJG, no, it's in my hallway. It's a triple album. It was called Lost. I was on that. You know what I'm saying? Damn. I've been rocking with the Midwest right. for many moons with Nelly and all them cats. Like, I've been, right. it's like, I try to tell people, man, it's more than, I say, I ain't local, I'm global, man. It's bigger than 7 blocks, it's 7 continents. You know what I'm saying? You know,
talk that talk.
I tell them Earth is my turf, man.
There you go. From Maine to Spain,
come on, bro.
But the thing is, I love the way, because even a lot of these cats you mentioned that are clearly legends in their time, you know, the thing that I think that separates from you from them is you understand what longevity is about. And I don't quite understand how you put it together, but it's like, you know, 40 is 40. Yeah. Like, it don't even,
period.
It don't sway. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you got a way to stay in the pocket and stay. And even when you kind of kick it with the youngsters, it's like, you sound like you comfortable. Yeah. Like, you don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't feel like you forcing anything. And just to have all those decades of longevity, you know, it says something about, you know, just the way you set your whole, you know, just your whole thing up. Because if you want, like, even when I did the ghetto, I was like, can't nobody talk like this but you. So I got to reach out, because ain't nobody else got that much history that understands what I'm trying to say. You know what I mean? So I don't know what it is, but I feel like I'm waiting on the book. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just waiting on the book. So if it's slang.
We can relate to each other, bro. You know, we know right. about hot water cornbread and pork and beans. We talk that shit because we from it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
right.
We from the era where, you know, your mama pinch you. I'm going to pinch you, boy. You know what I'm saying? Pinch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You understand me? Right. All that, like, it's a different cloth we cut from. You know what I'm saying?
And I know
that, like, I know, you understand me, every part of my body, man. I know the street.
That's crazy. You know? Yeah. Yeah. But how did you navigate just staying, like, relevant and in pocket and not sacrificing anything?
So, you know, what you got to do, it's like getting up to bat. You know, you got to keep your eye on the ball, because you don't know if it's going to throw you a curve drop, a knuckleball, you understand me, a fastball, whatever. You just got to, you don't know if the ball finna hit you. You not got to be ready right. to duck if it do. If the pitch is going right. head hunting, well, you just got to
right.
keep your eye on the ball, because it's all about turn with the times, or the times going to turn on you, or I should say change with the times, or the times going to change on you. Because what happens is, you know, you could do all this stuff, music with the slaps, all the slaps that you fuck with. If you're a real artist, like you know how to fuck with up. You've been on up tempo slaps with us. You
right,
know what I'm
right,
saying?
Right.
You was on the Function right. remix. That was some bass shit, right. but you did it your right. way. See, you didn't right. sound out of place. It's all about a right. real artist going to be able to adjust to any particular kind of beat. I don't give a fuck what kind of beat it is. And that's me. And you can still be you by adjusting to them beats, but just be you. Find that pocket.
Right.
Be you. Spit your shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so right. I went from, you know, don't get it fucked up. Mob music is my shit. I love mob music. I got a song out called Mob right now, getting great reaction. You know what I'm saying? Video and all. And a Falcon, a green Falcon with Zenas and Vogue.
Yeah, I see.
Man, you know
I see. Mustard and Man.
You know what I'm saying? We mobbing and we up tempo. We doing it all. So that's it. That's just keep my eye on the ball. And that's how you stay relevant. And if you keep throwing shit at the wall, eventually that shit going to stick. And you got to just hold on like a hubcap in the fast lane, even You know, even when the rug was took from the Bay Area, it was in podcast, right. The West Coast kind of like, you know, the rug was like, ugh, and the South just took over. Like, you know what I'm saying? Which is no problem. But I, you know me, the watermelon, I already was fucking with the South because we family. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I fuck with the South cast. I'm on Master P and my album. I'm on Cash Money Records albums. I'm on all they should be on mine. We rocking.
Right.
Because we all respect one another. You know what I'm saying? So that's how that's how I did it. And then when it's your turn, when it come back around, just be ready. When that ball coming to you and it's time to, you know, catch that shit and receive it, then you better hold on to it and don't fumble.
Right.
You feel me?
Right. They say stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready.
That's real talk.
Damn, man. I respect that, G. And it's crazy too, because I always felt like, just even going back to Sick With It, watching your 75-25 deal. And even to now, I see you up there sipping. It looked like you sipping on some of that E-40 wine, you know, that Earl Stevens, you know what I'm saying? I like your business, bro. Like, I love the music, but I love the business because, you know, it's all fun and games until everybody find out the guys in the suits work for somebody like yourself and the Scully.
Come on.
And I love that. And it's crazy, too, just not to mention, because I just left Napa myself. And when I was out there, it was actually my first time really getting to go and see what was going on. I was looking at all the wine vineyards, and I'm just watching everything, and I'm going, damn, like, this a real thing out there. So for you to already be plugged in, it makes a lot of sense, but it says a lot about you. You know what I'm saying? It says that you got out there, and you talked about these different drinks and the slurry, the hurricanes and all the stuff you was doing, and then you just put it all together and it goes with the brand of who you are today. Because that you grown, you fly, you know what I'm saying, and you get it. But now you got a wine with your name on it. Come on, man, you grew up like I grew up. We go to the refrigerator, ain't nothing in there. How you get your own wine, you know what I'm saying?
Man, you know, once you in it. So what I've learned, especially being an entrepreneur, when they say, you know, Jesus, when they say black excellence and when they say black entrepreneurs and, you know, buy black, I'm the epitome of that, because that's me. I'm the nucleus of that. I'm the, you know, that's me 1,000%, because I'm probably one of the few, I don't know how many of us, that got my own tequila straight from Jalisco, Mexico, that's owned 100% by me. Okay.
Wow.
My own cognac from Cognac, France, that's owned 100% by me. That's Tycoon Cognac. Into tequila. That's my tequila out of Jalisco, Mexico. That's all 100% owned by me. Ecuadenta means E40 in Spanish.
Wow.
You know, Tycoon, I've been screaming that Tycoon word since I was, you know, ankle low to a centipede toe, you know, when I first entered the rap game. You understand what I'm saying? So then you got, and then I got now, I got my own, and I got my own wine. So what happened was, you know, being next door to Napa, you see what I'm saying? I'm talking 5 minutes outside of Napa, bro. Vallejo, California. Right. We got the same area code, 707. You know, I mean, it was only right to make my own wine, you know? And I started off selling wine online. And then one thing led to another. Next thing you know, I went to go meet a distributor called Southern Glazers Wine and Spirits, and a guy by the name of Steve Harden, which is a great guy, and he accepted my meeting. He liked the wine. He brought me in, you know, for distribution. So, you know, at first I sold my first pallet. A pallet is 56 cases with 12 bottles in a case, 56 cases to Food for Less in Vallejo. Food for Less is a chain. They have a whole bunch of them in Southern California as well. I think they got like 150 of them. But so that was my first pallet. Okay, bam. So the guy that's in charge of my portfolio, my boy Kevin, he said, Earl, watch. One day we're going to come pick up a whole truckload of your wine. Watch. Man, they did that in no time, bro. They did that probably like 3 weeks later. That's how big the demand was. Next thing you know, I'm selling truckloads. Now, truckload is 21 pallets. To each pallet is 56 cases on the pallet. So that's 1,000. That's 1,050, pretty much 1,000 cases per truckload. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So in each truckload, it's you know, It's a lucrative business when you
do a absolutely. I mean, listen, I don't care what you got a truckload of. You feel me?
Whatever you got a truckload of, it's lucrative.
If it's
right involved, hello,
right, right. I think I'm gonna use the word. I think that's fascinating because it's just like you just take you know how to take the land and eat off the land, whether it's, you know, making the music that the culture understands or figuring out ways to, you know, just to expand your portfolio, even like being in the Bay and being close to San Francisco and making a Microsoft investment. It's just like, I would have never put the two and two together back then to be like, yo, this is the same guy that was telling me don't save him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But he making Microsoft. Like, tell me what that's about. So like, I get it.
So when I did Microsoft, that was the beginning. I didn't catch it when everybody else, when it really started.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just wanted to get in it because I thought that's the only one I knew of. You know? Okay. So that didn't turn out to be such a big, you know, such a big return for me. You know,
right?
But I did it. That was the beginning, and you always got to start from somewhere.
That's right. You
know, so I did it, and next thing you know, I ended up later on, years later. You know, because I did. You know, I did clubs. I had to. Did you ever come to my club, Ambassador's Lounge, in San Jose?
I wouldn't doubt it.
One time on a Friday, right. We used to right. do Big Bond used to DJ. We do them on Fridays. You know?
Yeah, shout out to Von. Yeah, shout out to Von.
Big Bond, man.
Yeah.
Fast forward and ended up doing vitamin, doing like a, not a vitamin water, but doing a water called 40 water with my man Kobe. He had hyphy energy drink.
Oh, man.
So right. that was the beginning of the beverages like and shit, you know. But I let Kobe handle all that because I was new to it, like, you know.
Right.
And so on and forth. And so going past that, I ended up doing, you know, of course, buying a whole bunch of property. Buy the houses, you know, and I fix them up, but at the same time, I would buy new houses in new development areas, right? Whether it was Stockton, right. Sacramento, Vallejo, you know what I'm saying? Me, like all over the Bay Area. And I would I sit on some houses when they brand new. I sit them until it, you know, it rise up, make my profit on that, and then sell it. Then a lot of times I would have a property management handle the house that had Session 8. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the property management team will pay me. They collect all the money every month. That was a beautiful thing.
How you coming up with all this, like, and you doing music and staying relevant at the same time? Like, it was it a team or is this you getting up saying, you know what? I need to go buy 4 or 5 houses to flip.
I was late.
That's the hustle.
So, okay. But going back, me and my brother had a clothing store, me and D-Shot, 1989, 90, and 91. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We had a clothing store on Solano Avenue in Vallejo called New Fad Clothing. Next door to us was Davenport. You know, they did taxes. So they came in there one day. My man Keith Towns, he was like, Earl, you know, he always spending with us. He always coming in buying some clothes. We're really supporting the black business. We young. We teenagers, right?
Right.
Really coming in there supporting black business. And he was like, man, who do y'all taxes? And I say, H&R Block.
Right.
he said, man, let's set up a meeting tomorrow. You come in here with Dwight and myself and let's sit down and talk. You know?
Right.
And they've been doing my taxes ever since. You know?
Wow.
Right? For 30 something years, right? So then you got you also have my man Dave Souls. He helped build a lot of big developments, you know. He had a lot to do with me getting all my property and stuff like that. He laced me like that too. You know what I'm saying? They always, I just listened to all the OGs. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
During that, right where that whole shopping center was at, a whole shopping mall area on that one street, right across the street from Church's Chicken in Millersville. So you had the check cashing on the corner right there. You had us next door to the check cashing. And then you had Rich Arts Barbershop. Then right next door to Rich Arts Barbershop, you had Studio Tone Studio. Studio Tone. Mm-hmm. You know, you ever heard of Studio Tone? The one who made Captain Save-A-Ho and a whole bunch of shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're producer.
So we would. Right. So I take my little change that I'm making over at New Fat Clothing, and I go drop a little deposit down, say, Studio Tone, I just need like 4 hours, bro. He said, okay, give me the puns right quick. And I come down there, and I have my lyrics already written while I'm in a store behind the cash register. I'm back there writing at the same time, too, listening to the music. You know what I'm saying? And so I already have my shit already written. So when I go in there, that 4 hours, I'm knocking out 4 or 5 songs at one time.
Songs.
Yes. Damn. And I had a lot of motherfuckers right. say because I was straight from the floor. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know? It's a trip. How all of it all unfolded, man. You know?
Yeah.
It's just a trip, man. I got so many stories.
And speaking of that, like, this book of slang, is it together? Is it coming out?
I don't know. What's going on with this? I ain't gonna do it.
You're gonna do it?
I got hella pages. Like, I'll probably go upstairs and go find a big ass book of that. And I probably dang near need to go pull it out because I know some words in there that I ain't even been saying. And I need to probably put in some of the slang because it's unlimited game and it's ahead of its time. It's futuristic. You know, a lot of people, I don't know if you've seen my frustration a little bit on Versus when I hate how there's so many game goofy ass motherfuckers out there that really just think I be talking crazy, like I don't really know what I'm saying, and all my words really be meaning some shit, and it's really spoiled shit.
Right.
I'm about to put my little twist to a lot of it, but it's real shit, and it's too much game for their brain because they lame, bro. And when I say that it's over their head like a shower nozzle, it really is over their head like the balloon boy. Right, remember the balloon boy?
Right. It got to be like, but you got to be from that to understand, and that's what make culture dope. Because it's just like when I went to New Orleans, I was just like, oh, okay, that's a real thing. Because when I heard Juvie and all them guys talking like that, I was like, what the hell? But when I went to New Orleans, I'm like, oh, I get it. And it's crazy because I say that out of respect because I love Bob Marley. I listen to his music, you know, and I always felt like he was legendary, but. The minute I went to where he was from, which is 7 Mile in Jamaica, is up in the mountains, whatever, and I got around his people, the people that really grew up with him, and I just watched how they live and what they done and how they talked about him, I got it instantly. Mm-hmm. The things that he talked about was their way of life. Yep. We just took it as music. So if you didn't get where they was coming from and get how, you know, they really smoked the ganja to just kind of release because they work so hard and they grind so hard. Because you go to Jamaica, everybody grinding. Grandmas, kids, everything. So it's just like what they celebrate through is the music. And it's not about just being rich. It's about being rich and hard. That's right. And that's what he was kicking. So if you're not from that soil and you don't understand that part of the culture, you're just going through the music. So where you coming from, it's just like, you know, the young cat with all the game, that's the one that's leading the pack. You know what I'm saying? That's the one that got that confidence and he talking the way he talking. And that's why we follow him, because we like, damn, he knows something that we don't know. And what I did see, going a little bit back to the verses, is that, you know, what you and Short did for that era and that time was so real, because everybody that you guys were raising that was listening to what you was doing and living that, got a chance to live that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Got a chance to be that night and celebrate the slang, celebrate the terminology, celebrate the times in the era. You know what I mean? And I commend you and
Short
for even. Yeah. You feel me? I saw some things online. I was tripping. I saw one guy dancing with his baby. I was like, yo, he gotta be from East Oakland.
He's a factor too. A lot of people love that boy, man. Everybody in there, they love everybody that was in that video, you know. And
explain to us like why that was such, because I got a lot of partners from the Bay, and it's crazy too. I got a lot of partners from Detroit that connect with y'all. It's almost like y'all like cousins.
Yeah.
But explain, you know, to the people why that was such a big moment. In history and time.
Because that was the stuff we took him back to was when, you know, when some of the people that was listening was living the lifestyle of the stuff we was talking. And they can relate They can relate like this nigga. This when I was sitting on 200,000. Wow, you know what I'm saying?
This
is my shit, man. Right here, nigga. That nigga playing my song. You feel what I'm saying? This mentality, you know. And so then you got some youngsters that was like, Daddy, I remember you used to slap this. This was your one right here. And, you know, they probably 30 years old now. You know what I'm saying? Or plus. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and then. You know, even with when we start turning up to the up temples and some of the you know, the hyphy music and shit, a lot of youngsters grew up on that shit. Like that's the college anthem, like some of the best times. So, you know, I always say one thing about myself and Too Short, we were able to, you know, be part of every generation of hip hop except for the 70s.
Yes.
You know, I was too young. I was like, you know, 8 years old or something in the '70s. You know, when that shit first came out or whatever. You know, but every part of hip hop, every trend, every era of hip hop.
Yeah,
I was able to adjust to it. We were able to adjust to the times, and you know, from the mob music, the G-Funk era, and even before that, the you know, the Black Fist era. You know, we had African Medallions and everything. You know, and all that, man. You know, it's just like, you can't let grass grow under your feet. I tell a motherfucker, ain't nothing sitting still, but hold ass heel.
You can't let the grass grow under your feet.
Yeah, you got to stay moving. You know, I tell a motherfucker, ain't nothing sitting still, but an old ass heel and a broken down Bonneville. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah, man, we going to keep it moving. We going to do a push. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, amen. But see, it is crazy because you just said that. I understood everything you said. But it's going to be some people out there that's going to clearly go.
Because they what? They game what?
They ain't got it, man. Game goofy. I love it.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a national Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Yo, I'm hype. The Black Effect is live. This April 27th, the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed down to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with the Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and share it with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit, Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event to be at. You will not want to miss this, because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
So you attended a HBCU. Like, what? How does that go, man? How does E-40 go to college? Like, explain this to me.
Like, that shit was the funnest time of my life.
What?
Oh, my God. I learned so much and everything, man, you know. And I didn't go through the whole 5 years or 4 years. I went one year. And that's when I went in the fall of 86, 87, came back. That's when we made MVP. We went straight to the studio. Most Valuable Players, 88. That's when it came out. So anyway, I went to college. So check this out. I'm going to be honest with you. One thing I wanted back when if you didn't pass in the 12th grade, if you didn't pass, that was very embarrassing. Like if you didn't pass, if you flunked your government class, you ain't graduating. So that was embarrassing. Right. So me and my partners on Magazine Street, we all get together, go to the library. Like, nigga, we ain't going out like that, nigga.
Y'all go to the library?
We went to the library back then, yeah, to go, just for that particular era, just for that little, just for the end to pass our government class, right?
We didn't have Google
and shit like that to just look up some shit.
I graduated in 1985.
I was 17 years old. Okay. It wasn't because I was hella smart. It's just my birthday was November. I'm a Scorpio. You know what I'm saying? So it fell on the right day. So I graduated years old. You know, but I didn't want to. I wasn't for the flunk, man. I said, man, we're going to pass our government class, man. And I did it. So anyway, I had enough, my grade point average was enough to get into Grambling State University. I wasn't going to go at first. I didn't have no clue to even go. But Bela, you know, Bela, people don't know, Bela's street smart. He's street smart and he's book smart. He's soil all the way, 100%. But he also, like many others, are very smart up here. You know what I'm saying? So Bela pulled up one day. He was like, man, you know, next month, me and Dion, we're going to Grambling State University. I said, Grambling State University? He just, yeah. I said, where that's at? And he just, Louisiana. I say, nigga, you ain't finna leave me, nigga. Hold up. I told mom, she said, boy, I got an auntie that stay up there, right? She actually was a teacher at Grambling State University. We didn't realize this, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, right. I get up there. I went and got my transcript from Hogan High, and then I got in there. I got into Gram. You know, we stayed with my great grandmama. Her name was Mommy Elvie.
You said we, so all y'all stayed.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you. Yeah, so we hopped in Bela Gist Mustang at that time, right? And we drove up there. And at that time, I was 17. I ain't gonna lie, I didn't know how all my cars was automatics. I didn't know how to drive a stick. Right. I didn't know. I don't, you know, motherfuckers be asking me, am I going to get in them? Because I fuck with all the bike clubs, all the cats in the bike clubs, right? They say, Cody, you going to get your motorcycle, man? You going to get you a Harley? I say, hell nah. I don't even know how to drive a motorcycle. Everything automatic, nigga. I'll get me a motherfucking Harley truck, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Right. And with a Harley jacket and be the last one. I'll be right behind y'all, nigga. You know what I'm saying, nigga? I'll be in that. Yeah, that's how I get in the club. I get in my club like that. But I was like, so I didn't know. So I did with Dion and Bela drove up there while I'm in the back seat. And I'm just every motherfucking city. I'm like, nigga, stop by the liquor store, nigga. Right, I'm just drinking through the whole time, right? The niggas was getting frustrated with me. Right, so we get to Arizona. At that time, I had a perm. I had a perm down here. My wife had did it because she went to Kenneth College in Vallejo to do hair. She still got her hair license
So your wife did your hair back then?
Yeah, it was a perm. It was a pearl. I had a Lord Jesus perm. You feel me? I was a skinny nigga. I was a fly, my nigga. I was a fly-ass young nigga. My baller belly started kicking in later on as I got older. You know, living that baller life. Hello?
That's right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I get to Arizona. My boy D, I say, man, you might as well cut it, my nigga. You might as well cut it because, you know, he wasn't hating. He was a congratulator. He just said, because, nigga, you know, they think a little different up here. And, you know, in the South, nigga, California niggas, they be thinking, you know what I'm saying, nigga, you understand me? You understand me? You know, like that, right? And I'm like, man, you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to cut it because it's going to be hella hot out there. You know, I ain't got nobody to really take care of my perm because wife is bitching and shit. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, fuck it, I cut that shit right there in Arizona at a broken down hotel, right? Motel. So we get up there. I get in line. I get it. We get up there. We stay with my mom, my great grandmother, Mommy Elvie. And she's in Bernice, Louisiana, and she would get up and go to work. She was like 80 something at that time every morning. So we were there for 3 days at her house. Me, Dion Davis, and Bela Gist. We stayed there, nigga. She had hella food. She had a freezer and she had a refrigerator. In her freezer, it was shit like, you know, fried. It was chicken patties that you just put in the oven and shit. Like, I ain't never seen no shit like that. She had some shit. She had good food. She's a lady. I'm like, what, this is the way you eat everything?
Right. So, she had that deep freezer.
She had that deep freezer, bro, with all kind of goodies up in that thing. And she said, y'all just clean up behind yourself. Her house was spotless. It was a small little house. Spotless, though. Right. So we stayed there for 3 days. We went to... We knew we had to get like cooking utensils. So I got me this little pot to cook my noodles here, because I love top ramen noodles and Vienna sausage. I chop them up, put the Vienna sausage in the top ramen noodles, make lightweight spread. You know how spread pretty much. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hella sardines and, you know what I'm saying, oysters and shit like that, crackers and tuna, and you understand me. And so then I had got this little fryer. This is at a rummage sale. We stopped by a rummage sale. Everybody got up. We got everything we needed at this one rummage sale, nigga, a yard sale. You know what a rummage sale is, right? A yard sale?
I know the yard sale.
Garage sale. Sure. Yeah, like that. They got all kind of names for them. We got one fryer. Nigga, that fryer was the dopest little fryer you plug in the wall ever in life. Because every Friday, when school started, my nigga, Friday, nigga, I was making all the chicken legs. We called it the carnival. I made fried chicken legs, nigga. The whole dorm in Duval, the whole dorm was just, oh, the niggas down there living it up. They finna have a carnival. We called it a carnival. We had hella liquor, you know what I'm saying? Like, playing dominoes, the whole woo-wop. So anyway, to make a long story short, the short story long, we stayed at my grandmama's house for 3 days. And then it was time to go. We was registering at that time. Then it was time to go into our dorms. So I stayed in Drew Hall, and then my boy Waldo Bensworth, Dion, and Vila just stayed in Pittsburgh. I think Dion stayed in the baseball dorm because he played for the baseball team. You know what I'm saying? I went that one year. Let me just say this. Nigga, we got into a fight, nigga. We got into a fight. I'm at the student union, right? And at grandma. And while I'm there, Alfred Payton, his son played for the NBA, my nigga, and Alfred went to the pros. So me and this is a trip. Alfred, nigga, we at the student union, and it's just like the jailhouse. He on the phone, right? And he on there for hella long. You know, I'm a California nigga with a California mentality. My nigga, when you gonna be up on the phone, my nigga? You know what I'm saying?
Phone check, homie.
Yeah, it's phone check. He on there. He was out of hand too long. I say, my nigga. He like, hold on, bro. Hold on, Waldy. Waldy back there, right? Hold on, bro. Hold on, bro. Straight from New Orleans. Deep ass voice, right?
Right.
So, nigga, Alfred, nigga, that nigga. And so, be legit come through. Be legit say, nigga, niggas ain't doing nothing but barking. Like that, right? He seen us arguing. He come through, niggas ain't doing nothing but barking. Took off on him, right? Nigga, big Alfred nigga came at me, nigga, with them long ass, big ass shoulders and shit. I'm a skinny nigga. That nigga hit me with a left, and then I had an uppercut. I had a cold uppercut. I came, poof. Nigga, it wasn't no beat down on either one of our side, right? It was just
right.
And then we made it outside. And so here come everybody breaking it up. So now I got funk with some New Orleans niggas, right? Me and Vila, right? And so it's a nigga named Reggie Pugh from Oakland. He said he stayed in my dorm. He sent like a kite down to my room. He just I went up to his room. He was already a junior. Like he knew all the New Orleans niggas and everybody, right? That nigga just, homeboy, I'm from the town, my nigga. I know you got in a little thing and shit, you understand me? But nigga, I got your back, nigga. I know every last one of these niggas, nigga, and we gonna get them up again, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Real nigga. The realest nigga I ever met in my life.
He ready for the phone.
He was with it. And he cool with everybody. He cool with everybody. He didn't have no problems with him, none of that. He just had my back like a masseuse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we hibernate, you understand me? I'm doing my little push-ups and shit like that, nigga. I'm shadow boxing. You know what I'm saying? I'm lifting weights. I'm really
come
in training.
On, man.
Like I'm a skinny nigga in training. Like nigga, I had a step back. Nigga, I wasn't for play. But anyway, so with cute. Now check this out. So then, it was a night when we had to really get out, and we had hella California niggas. We was at a gym, and it was a what'd you call that? One not a sock hop, like a it was like a block party out in a gym. Though, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so. You know, hella California niggas was there. Big California niggas from L.A. all over the place. Them niggas all act like they had our back, right? Hella New Orleans niggas. See, now, mind you, all the New Orleans niggas was clicked up with all the Baton Rouge niggas. These are some big Africans, my nigga.
Baton Rouge ain't nothing to play with,
right? So look. So check this out. This is a fool right here, my nigga. I'm just a movie. And so, you know. So we end up getting, we had a squad, 1-on-1. I had him, he had, and then my nigga, RIP, No Net Kev, he had passed away a few years later. And then my nigga Be Legit. Nigga, it was just us. Right. But when we was walking to the spot by the baseball dorm where we was where we met for the battle, nigga, hella California niggas was with us, like 100 of us. Nigga, as we start walking, niggas start fading away. Nigga, you know it's just three of us, right? me, Be Legit, No Neck Kevin, and Reggie Pugh. That's it, my nigga.
That's it.
So we got him up. It was over so quick. My feelings was hurt, though, because I wasn't bruised up. He wasn't bruised up. You understand me? But we just, nigga, fuck that, nigga. And I'm a California nigga, and I'm straight from the motherfucking soil with the shit, right?
We
took pistols up there, my nigga. We took pistols to Grambling State University.
Right.
That was all we knew.
Right.
Nigga, we go to our dorm room. I'm like, nigga, where my pump? Get the pistols. So we go there. We up on the floor up there. Them niggas down there. And I say, nigga, I'm finna dome me a nigga on everything. I remember, you talk to 17, 18-year-old 40 water. Right. And so I'm walking, I'm gonna walk down, and he's Be Legit just no. Be Legit saved my life. I'll probably be in prison. He just no. Let's shoot out the window. So we opened up the window and we just start shooting in the air. We just bust out, we just start shooting in the air.
Oh man, you know the whole camp, the whole camp is like, yo, them bay niggas is crazy. Like,
them niggas is crazy, right? So check this out. Now look, this is how God works. So in the meantime, while we marinating, staying low, right? You know, we hooked up with I think his name Jay. Yeah, Jay. He had a big boom box. And we took original concept beat, Dr. Dre now, big Dr. Dre and Ed Lover. Not Dr. Dre from the South, from the West Coast, Dr. Dre from the East Coast. They legendary. Okay. They was called Original Concept. They had a song called Knowledge Me, Oh Me, Dunk.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. We took that beat and looped it, and then we said my partner Waldo Benz worked from Oakland, him and Bila, they was like, we need to make a song, we need to name ourselves the Drifters or something, because we used to always talk about, nigga, you over there drifting.
You know what I'm saying? That's like just tweaking, like just drumming, just like spaced out.
Right.
We'll be drinking and shit like that. We was like, so we called ourselves the Intellectual Drifters, right? Just some shit we just made up, you know what I'm saying? So we at Graham, we end up making we made a school alma mater. We made the school alma mater as a rap song because they didn't have, it was just like, Dear Gremlin, whatever it was at the time, we made that shit hip, nigga. We talked about everything that went down on Grambling campus, like we talked about all the classes, you know, how legendary Eddie Robinson was, like all this shit. Like we talked about everything, the history of Grambling. We talked about the band, you know, one of the most world renowned bands. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the band's crazy.
All that shit. Yeah. So the cassette started surfacing all around the motherfucking campus. The cassettes, people was dubbing cassettes because we was getting famous, nigga. Then here come the what you call it, the talent show. We entered the talent show. Me, Waldo Bensworth, and Be Legit. Nigga, we get up there, nigga, and we sung that song, nigga, and we won the contest. We won the whole talent show.
Shit.
Nigga, when we walked outside, nigga, we signed an autograph. Nigga, the New Orleans niggas, the New Orleans niggas, nigga, them niggas shook our hands. Nigga, we became friends.
Hey, right.
Because they know we represented, you know?
Right.
We became real friends, you know? And later, just recently, right before COVID, man, I'm at the airport. I'm at the airport, man, and so I say, man, who? They gave me a number to call to pick me up. So the dude that arranged everything, he said, man, I'm finna send somebody to pick you up, and he had no idea about anything, right? He just know that I went to grandma, you understand me, and they honored me. They honored me, you know, at that time. You know what I'm saying? They honored me at that event right before COVID in New Orleans. Me and my wife went to New Orleans. And so then I go out. He say, Fody, man, my nigga, I'm picking you up. Where you at? I just, who is this? He said, man, Fody, listen, man. You, man, Fody, you for the trip, Fody, right? I walk outside. He said, Fody, this Alfred. I say, nigga, what the fuck? Right. Nigga, I gave that nigga a big ass hug, nigga. Like, nigga, I seen you in hella years, nigga. Right. Elford, man, this he said, for this Elford, man, nigga. We get the car. We get in the car. My wife get in the car. I say, hey, nigga. I say, nigga, you see this lady right here? This is the girl, the woman I was phone checking you about, nigga. She, this is my high school sweetheart, nigga. That's why, nigga, I was phone checking you, nigga.
You got to put it all on the line.
Yeah, yeah. He said, I know, Fody. He said, I know. And he said, you see this woman right here that's on the phone right here that I'm talking to? He had her. He had his girl on the phone. He was on the phone with her when I was phone checking him.
But, oh, yeah. Man.
So we
solid on solid.
It was solid, so it's a trip. So we, you know, it was just like, man, I love that dude, man. It's like, because even during that time, we was in phone. People don't know. I was one of the New Orleans niggas that was one of the niggas that I got into it with that was part of the New Orleans Baton Rouge team was Jubilee.
Right.
Nigga, Jubilee is a legendary Jubilee had all the gigs too. Like he could dance and shit, but also Jubilee was a DJ, like and had songs. Like Jubilee was a rapper with all of, you know, all the bounce music and shit. Like he legendary out there. Jubilee.
So
that night, Jubilee came too. So I got pictures with me, Jubilee, and Elford. You know, Elford went to the pros and everything. He's like, oh, my, you know, my son in the NBA, Elford Payton Jr. I'm like, wow.
That's crazy. I say, man,
it's crazy. I could just go on and on forever, but to this day, I love the brothers, man. And we got each other. Numbers. We stay in contact. It's nothing but love.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying?
That's love. I got to ask you this before we go, though.
Yeah.
When you was at your grandmother's house, and you went in that deep freezer, and you was cooking these patties and stuff that you saw, did that inspire you? Because I check you out on your IG from time to time, and I'm damn near pescatarian, but you be having me wanting to backslide. Right?
Get back in the world.
Where did this goon with a spoon start from? Because now, I'm cooking show, I'm watching E-40 on the cooking show, just so you know. A&E, so, here we come. So. You feel me? But where did that come from, bro? Like, because I just feel like, I got one of my partners, he tell me is a stress reliever. Like, he just cook.
Yeah.
He's like, what you want, Mexican, this, that, and the other. But I just sit there and watch you and put it together. I'm like, damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, right on, man. Yeah, I know some cooks. I know some bona fide, you know, Michelin star cooks that be like, they say they when they see me on the gram, like their wives will be on there and they'd be like, baby, why you don't ever make this for me? Look at this. They tell me this shit. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I like to eat shit that I like to cook shit that I know that's gonna be good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like so right. Anyway, me being the oldest of four, mom's, you know, she worked my mom and my dad divorced when I was 8.5 years old. So I was the oldest. Okay. I was 8. D-Shot was 6. Sugar T was 4. And Young Muggsy was 2. So I had to take matters into my own hands. Although my daddy never deserted us, he paid child support like he was supposed to everything. And we would go visit him every other weekend. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't run away from us. I love my pops. You know what I'm saying? But But you know, he paid his child support. But it wasn't enough for what we needed done because we were hella. Athletic. We played baseball, football, all that shit. All of with 3 boys, you know what I'm saying? And even Sugar T, she played softball, all that shit. She was involved with all the community shit, everything. So, you know, mom's, you know, she worked 2 or 3 jobs. We over there on the hillside now, you know what I'm saying? And so I had to be like the man of the house, you know, and, you know, even though Sugar could cook and everything, but she was so young, you know, mom's would cook. I would cook. I would just learn how to cook and shit. Like, that was my little specialty. All of us know how to cook because, you know, it's just like, you know, a lot of niggas, when you're from the soil, you just got to know how to cook certain things. So I started getting all the way involved in it as I got older. You know, I worked for this restaurant, me and Be Legit and D-Shot, when we was young. It was in Benicia, California. It was called the Commandant's Restaurant. And I started off washing dishes, you know what I'm saying? And then I ended up working at a pantry. Then I started learning how to cook escargot, London broil, you know, lobster bisque, you know, chicken cordon bleu, you know what I'm saying? Shit like that, you know? And became, in my mind, you know, a Michelin star chef. Right?
Star chef. Yeah, yeah.
So here it is. So my mother-in-law in 2014, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law bought me a power pressure cooker. And from then on, I was like, this shit, this shit go crazy. Like, you cook some chicken in that motherfucking 30 minutes and season it up and everything, and that shit falling off the bone, and you make it soup and gumbo and all kind of shit, short ribs, and that shit go tender for 30 minutes to an hour on short ribs, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, this shit go crazy. So you know, being from the soil, you know, I'm over the stove. That's my slogan. I had a stove called I'm over the stove. You know what I'm saying? And you know, so be legit. You know, one of the things he would say, he a goon with the spoon. You know, I got it from be legit. But when he was saying that, we were talking about the streets, nigga. We some goon with the spoon, nigga. Right. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know what? What can I call this to, you know, when I'm cooking? I just start hashtagging goon with the spoon, because really I'm a goon. But I got the spoon, and I'm in the kitchen, so it make cooking real soil related, like hood related. Yeah. Like, we know what he mean, but at the same time, we know what he mean about the kitchen. He really is in there going with the spoon, cooking up some shit. So I turned it into that. I turned it into that. Now I got food products coming out under the goon with the spoon.
Oh man,
like co-packing, like shit that you can buy in Costco and shit, like hot links and burritos and all kind of shit, like, you know, jerky and soups and ice cream and all kind of shit I got coming out under the goon with the spoon.
Man, congratulations, man. I just want to take the time to tell you, bro, like, I commend you on your longevity. I commend you on the way that you stay solid and you just, you know, you lead without saying too much. And you know, we love you, bro. Like, I remember a long conversation I had with you and Snoop that really got me back on track when we were shooting the video. You guys put me to the side and just kind of told me, like, yo, man, listen, bro, like, you got to do what you say you're going to do and stay solid. And we just commend you, man. And I'm going to keep watching. I hit you up the other day. I had to tell you, like, look, whatever you're doing is looking good on you, bro. You know what I'm saying? You're looking younger. You're talking better. Thank you, man. And, you know, we're going to support you until the end. And I thank you for stopping through the Recession Podcast, take some time out of the day to hang with us. And, you know, congratulations on the verses. Congratulations on the project you just dropped. And, you know, we're going to rock with you, baby. E. Fonzarelli, E. 40.
On your verses too, man. It was legendary, for man. I salute both of y'all.
For sure. Thank you for stopping by the Recession Podcast. E40, y'all. Love my brother.
Love you, buddy.
Already.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Recession Podcast by Jeezy, a production of Black Effect and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at the Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast festival for more details.